Football is back. The training camp day one recap is upon us. What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another Dolphin Collective, the first Dolphin training camp recap video. We got two gentlemen on the panel for a reason. Omar Kelly, Alan Poupart, we're there today. We are going to pick these man's brains and get as much information, unbiased information.
It's not going to be biased according to TD.
I haven't heard it yet.
That's not going to be unbiased according to TD.
About what happened today. But first, got to shout out the sponsors. First being Prize Picks. They got a new promo going on. When you use that promo code HMA and you are a new user, you play $5. You get 150 when you win. And we know you'll win because you're going to listen to us. TD's always got some great stuff to throw at you. You're going to win. You get 150. Great promo. And we also have SeatGeek. Let's listen to Pass Me talk about SeatGeek. Shout out to today's sponsor, and that is SeatGeek. Love, love, love using this app. They have 35 million downloads, making SeatGeek the number one rated ticket app. They are more than 70,000 events listed. 70,000. And it ain't just sports. They have concerts, festival, and more. Super fun and easy to use. Use that promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of SeatGeek tickets. That is 10% off any tickets with that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Go use the app. Again, linked below. Get yourself 10% off your next set of tickets, regardless of where you're going. And again, shout out to SeatGeek for sponsoring this video. For real, go check them out. Use that promo code, get yourself a nice little discount. Let's jump into this. Today, we had, now, was it three turnovers or four turnovers? Was there two fumbles?
Great.
Somebody reported on a possible other fumble. I think Ethan
was that Bonner. Person there, or was that?
Oh, let me get into the juicy gossip.
Was that person there, or was that person just picking up tweets from all over the place?
No, I don't. Let me see if I can find it. Somebody,
I don't know who, but they threw some shade at people on the internet, and they might be in one of these four squares. Shouldn't be talking about what's going on over here if you're not watching practice.
No, you shouldn't do a practice report suggesting you were there when you're not there. By the way, did you know the Dolphins are at a 7-on-7, the usual 7-on-7 drills today, even though they didn't? Okay,
rant over. Who you got beef with, Alan? Who we got to go ride over?
Who was it?
That's why I like you, TD, because, you know, when you're part of a team, you
got to ride. Who we got problems with, Alan? We got problems with? You let me know backstage.
There's no need to identify the...
All right.
Culprit. Somebody.
It's not anybody on here.
But the defense dominated, had a big day, which is normal, right? This is a normal thing. It's easy.
When we say big day, here's the thing. I look at practice like it's a daily game. Mm. If you played a game and you had three turnovers in that game, wouldn't you say the defense had a good day? Mm. Yeah. So, you know, when we writing, sitting there writing victories and losses, you get a three turnover day and you don't produce any big plays.
That's the other part of it. Plus, there were also a couple of pass breakups, and there were no big plays by the offense.
Yeah, you're taking an L.
Is that fair, though?
On day one?
Yeah, if the people turning the ball over, barely going to play anyway?
Stop it. It's unit versus unit. Yeah, Malik Willis did not throw an interception, but it's unit versus unit.
He almost did.
And hold on. Quinn Ewers had a pick, and he's your number two quarterback. I believe it was Ollie Gordon who had the fumble. Ollie Gordon should be on the roster. And the other one is
Cam Miller was a 6th round pick in 2020.
Cam Miller ain't making the team. So.
Yeah, I don't have a Megan team either. But I mean, it's early. Let's not be premeditated with our
assessment. Correct. The defense should have the upper hand on the offense at this stage of training camp, not to the degree that we saw today at practice.
In the past, when there was an experienced, savvy quarterback
who's who hurt. Had
chemistry.
Having back issues at the time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he'd do his thing, But, yes, and everybody goes, hey, it's practice. Okay, well, I wish somebody would practice like that. Just somebody.
Also, it would help if the receivers got open more frequently.
That's true. I mean, who's to say what he would look like if he had these receivers? But then me and you sat. And we had the conversation, which receiver unit would you pick, 2019 or this one?
I said this one based on potential. 2019 had...
Liar. You liar.
What are you talking about? We said
Devontae Parker would smoke everybody on that unit.
Yes, at that time. But Chris Belfour, one, has more potential than anybody in the group. And outside of Devontae Parker that year, as we ran through it, it was Preston Williams, Jakeem Grant, Albert Wilson... post blown up knee, it was Isaiah Ford, it was Alan Hearns. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry.
Alan Hearns was an accomplished NFL player who's accomplished way more than anybody on this roster has. Alan Hearns, at the time he was here,
you go Alan and stop on him because he's all about
no, the because he's also a Kansas City Chief. So
see, there you go. Now there's
some respect on put some respect on the CC.
Double love there.
Listen, here's the thing about Hearns has. Hearns probably has more collectively than John Tolbert and
Tutu.
Yeah, well, put together, but when he got here,
you sure about that?
Oh yeah, Hearns is a multi-year starter for Jacksonville.
I forgot.
Yeah, he was a little run guy. He did have a breakout season,
huh?
Yeah, 1,000-yard season. He had one.
He did.
Collectively, I think they're both.
He had 20 catches the year before he joined the Dolphins, though.
We don't know if it was injury or not. I don't remember. Well, I think he got hurt.
He played 16 games. Sorry. He played 16 games.
Who stood out the most on the defense?
It was a whole bunch of players who made like one play each. The biggest play of the day was Willie Gay Jr. with his interception near the sideline. Got one hand on the ball, snagged it with one hand, secured it with both hands, cut in front of the receiver. Pretty impressive play, but that's one of those where you could make the argument it was against Cam Miller, who probably is not going to be on the roster. Still a great play. Outside of that, there were Juju Brents again had a really nice pass breakup at one point, had good coverage on another play. I'm going to be honest.
It's the first time we noticed Caleb Douglas. But defensively, I would say Michael Taft. He made really good play on an interception. I noticed him. Jacob Rodriguez had some breakups. Cam Good had a sack. David Ojobo had a forced fumble. Forced fumble.
He did.
Willie Gay, Willie Gay does what Willie Gay does, which,
give props to Robert Beal Jr. Cause on the pick by Michael Taft, he chased Quinn Ewers out of the pocket from behind and Ewers threw it on the run and kind of floated it in there and Michael Taft took advantage of it.
Who was that?
Robert Beal Jr. He's an edge.
Okay.
He's a veteran edge.
Yep. Free agent acquisition.
Fourth year veteran.
Outside of that, pretty.
Yeah, no. I mean, we understand you're not judging and evaluating trench play until pads come on, which is probably Poupard Sunday, Monday.
I think it's Monday, I believe.
Okay,
it's what five? I thought it was supposed to be after
5 day acclimation. I believe is what it is.
Isn't it after a rest day? So they're not practicing Saturday, right?
They're not practicing Saturday. I think Sunday's a little too early, but I could
do Sunday. That. Yeah, so it'd be Monday. It'd
be Monday or Tuesday. Don't quote me on that.
Interesting.
Good. And there will be like that at some point in training camp.
Good, because I'm going to the movie scrimmage Saturday. All right, let's talk offense. Let's
cover your ears.
Rip the Band-Aid.
Why do I have to cover my ears?
I'm not saying nothing.
Okay, I got good news and bad news for you, TD. Which one do you want first? Good news and bad news. The good news is Malik Willis probably was the most effective of the four quarterbacks. The bad news is it was extraordinarily average.
Yeah, am I right,
Omar?
I wouldn't have said any of them was effective.
And that's why I said that. Malik was the best of the four, and his performance was completely average.
He missed on a couple passes that were off the mark, and
he threw over like 2 feet over the head of Tutu Atwell.
Yeah, we're at like Chad Haney level execution, and that's
I said what I said.
And if we don't, we're at Chad Haney level execution.
How many snaps would you say he?
Yeah, am I lying, Papar?
Yeah, sure. You're overselling it. Sorry, it wasn't quite that bad.
See, I knew it was gonna be biased. Thank you, Alan. But
I got your back.
How many passes do you think he threw?
I know exactly how many passes he threw because guess what? I kept the tabulation. I can tell you all the quarterbacks.
Rayman.
I wrote it down. Willis was Rayman.
6 for 9. Willis was what?
6 for 9.
Okay.
And so his first pass was into pretty tight coverage, and it was Juju Brents who broke up the pass intended for Malik Washington. He had the miss. The miss on the 2-2 Atwell didn't count because there was a flag on the play because they were officials. But that was a bad overthrow. He had another one that was off the mark, like Omar said. And then there weren't any bad drops by any of the receivers, which is a good sign.
What was the penalty? Do you remember?
Well, Caleb Douglas had a false start one time. And then the other one was there was a holding penalty on another one. And I don't recall if there was another one. But to me, he was like, I don't feel any different about Malik Willis now than I did entering practice. I'm still very curious. But it's not like my anticipation level for success for him advanced one iota. Quinn Ewers today was shaky.
Yeah.
Even the completion he had, Terrace Marshall Jr. was wide open in the middle of the field, and he underthrew it badly enough that Marshall had to go down to the ground to make the catch when he shouldn't have had to. And then he had the pick. He had another almost interception. Ethan Bonner was in coverage against somebody else. He just was off. And then he threw the one deep pass that was attempted the entire day was Quinn Ewers down the left sideline to Caleb Douglas, who was not open. And then the ball was a floater on top of everything else. And the one who came closest to making the play was Marco Wilson, the cornerback. So that was not good. Not a good day for Quinn Ewers.
So, TD, what did you hear anything different?
Yeah, Malik Willis was phenomenal. What I'm hearing out of even you,
his mom wouldn't have said today he was phenomenal. That's how much
of say he was MVP level. But anyway, he was six for nine.
I'm always claimed to be a hater of quarterbacks, so I'm just going to remain silent.
Yeah, we know Omar. Trust me. Well, not all quarterbacks.
Yeah. Right. Since when? I mean, seriously.
You know, not back spasm quarterbacks.
But hater anyway. Of quarterbacks, exactly. Not if they have the hit factor.
So I hear 6 for 9.
Yeah.
He had 3 incompletions. One of them was in a tight window pass breakup and 2 misfires. And we're like, oh, it's just an average day, you know, but we're not talking about the 6 passes. Wasn't one of them for 25 yards or something in the middle of the field or strike?
No, the completions were all short and to
general. Yeah, there was a pass to Greg Dulcich that was impressive, and Dulcich would have created run after catch yards. Maybe could have got to 25, but that was probably it. There were two impressive passes today. Malik threw both of them, but I really only saw 2 impressive.
You did? I didn't see one. I didn't see one that
The Caleb Douglas reception over Juju Brents, which I believe they put up a third down situation, so that might have been third down conversion.
Douglas running
out. Yeah.
Cutting right in front of Brents, and he put it there. I mean, it was like, okay.
I know, but okay. Question for you. When was the last quarterback that you saw that could throw a 15-yard out?
Tua Tagovailoa, lefty. You may remember him, number one.
He could not stop it.
Okay. A 15-yard out, Allen stopped that man.
Okay. I mean, but it wasn't to me. It wasn't like I noted, like, "Whoa, that was a nice throw." Like, okay,
it was a nice completion, and yeah. it made me say, "Okay, Caleb Douglas, there's some talent there," which we didn't really see much of OTAs, rookie minicamp, training camp. I mean, mandatory minicamp.
He also had a false start, and he had that run deep pattern when he couldn't get behind Marco Wilson. So
okay. Marco Wilson might be fast. Same.
Okay. But it was a Caleb Douglas sighting, and he made some plays, right?
And Tevin Coleman was still the best rookie wide receiver on the field.
But I told y'all that was.
I know you're like, you got this with Tevin Coleman.
I told Tevin Coleman is a good slot. He's an exclusive slot. Not Malik Washington's going to be outside, and
but we never got a full explanation from TD on the phenomenal.
I know. Exactly. Malik. Go ahead.
So Malik Willis was phenomenal today because I told y'all a month ago, and I told y'all this for a few weeks consecutively. What you're going to get at the bare minimum every single day in practice is average, but that's the bare minimum. You're going to get between average and good. Because when the real game comes, y'all ain't mentioned nothing about his scrambling, his ability to run, the pressure flushing him out, and then him making a throw. That's going to happen in real action. So all he got to be is average to good in practice. And the lights come on, all of it come together with his ability to make plays. That's who he is.
Let me ask you a question, TD, and I hear where you're coming from. And we had Jeff Hafley on the Joe Rose Show this morning on WQAM. I encourage everybody to go listen to the interview because I thought it was a good interview. I did it. So, he addressed some very important things, which is like Malik, we're not going to see, the fan base is not going to see who Malik is all training camp, all preseason because
until the game starts.
It
doesn't change the fact that he did not have a phenomenal day or anywhere close to it.
Yeah, I mean, but look at it like this, Allie. He played one third of a game today. Like, that's most superstars in this league. You put three of those together, you're going to see two to three amazing throws in there. I mean, this is – I mean,
zero times three does not equal three. Sorry.
No. Come on, man. I mean, do we have to go there? We done seen players throw two picks in the first half and six touchdowns in the second half. I mean, we've seen these things happen, Allen. But he's momentum guy.
There was nothing. That's the point I'm trying to make to UTD. Is there? I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying today, strictly for today, stop telling us how great he's going to be because of today. Today was not an indicator of he's going to be great because he didn't do anything today.
Did he get completions? Did he get completions?
Yes.
He got six out of nine completions.
Your bar is real low. Completion.
No, he's the type of guy that long as we're moving the chains, when we get down there, he's going to make plays. Okay. Like, but y'all not seeing, you're not so seeing you the consider big picture, y'all.
You consider what Allen and Omar said he did today is phenomenal?
Phenomenal, because when I start hearing them say, oh, he was terrible today, that's the only concern I'll have.
We never said he was terrible.
No. I didn't say you said that. I said when I start hearing you say that, that's when I'll be concerned. I've already told y'all in practice, you're going to get this average to good guy. You're not going to see excellent, great, elite. It's going to happen in games. But as long as he's
phenomenal.
That's phenomenal for me because I know what that's going to be elevated to.
Understood.
Here's my concern about what I'm seeing from Malik Willis. And I don't know what to expect because I'm not seeing the action live. And I get it. He's going to be a scrambler. Y'all know my concerns about scrambling. He's not big. He's the exact same size as Tua. So durability is going to be a concern. He is the exact same size as Tua.
Now, the arms yesterday?
Tua's thicker in the bottom. He's thicker in the – he's stronger up top. Okay, big deal. And
yeah, I mean, more like this. I mean, that dude's got some rocks up here. Tell me, he's not cut in the upper body.
He's okay. He's cut in the upper body. Does that make you feel better?
Thank you.
Okay. Here's my point that I would like to make. All this talk about he's not doing the improvisational plays. Okay, What happened? What happens about broken? Shouldn't they be practicing the broken plays? When there's a would-be sack, Tua would scramble around and then he'd throw the ball. We wouldn't count it, but those were plays that he practiced. Now, he wouldn't do it in a game, but am I lying, Papar? He would practice that.
I know, but I don't know that that accomplishes a whole lot.
I agree with you. I don't know, but you just all of a sudden think we're gonna. It's like when there's a broken play, receivers have to know which direction to go. They have to know instead of running just to open space. They have to develop some sort of chemistry on broken plays with the quarterback. If he's never doing it in practice, when are they going to do it?
But if you recall, though, as part of that interview that you did with Hafley, he said, when we get to live tackling and joint practices in the preseason game and all that, then they'll let Malik run around in the control setting. He's good.
Hey, man. Listen, man. Y'all get off me, man.
Omar, I don't know if you saw it, but so Kyle said if TD got hit by a car driven by Malik, he would still believe in Malik Willis. And then Broward Dolphin said Malik drove the hell out of that car. MVP.
I probably was jaywalking. I was probably jaywalking.
I was looking at my phone. I should have been paying attention.
I don't know what he's going to be. I have no idea.
I do.
He's got a very live arm. That's very, very obvious. Yeah.
I would like a faster processing speed. That's all I'm saying. Like for all you computer geeks, whatever it's the RAM or the I don't know. Just give me a faster processor.
You got to get receivers getting open quicker too, though.
That's fair.
So, accuracy issues. Did we touch upon that already with the quarterbacks?
I mean, that's where we are with the quarterbacks right now, to me. And I would make the point, they might need to upgrade the backup quarterbacks, and which is why they probably have two quarterbacks in.
You're talking 3 and 4?
Yes.
Three and four. Okay.
This is why they're going to keep – I mean, they brought in Austin Reed from Western Kentucky and two other schools, and then Jack Plummer, the UFL MVP, for workouts on Tuesday – didn't sign it up. Supposedly they had Plummer take a physical. Maybe they're close to signing him and all that. But again, you're dealing like the bottom end of the roster. To me, I would be so surprised if they kept three quarterbacks on the 53.
Yeah, we're just – I think all those tryouts were just look-sees. Like if something
gets – They brought a bunch of people in too.
Yeah. Clyde Edwards-Hilaire. If they're just kicking the tires to see whether these guys are past the physical. I mean, they do need a running back. Now, I did like what I saw today from Carlos Washington. And there was another one that did a couple of nice little runs. Like, I think it was Davion Edwards.
For anyone who didn't know, these are the guys that were brought in to work out. Was Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, like Omar said. Quarterback Jake Plummer, quarterback Austin Reed, wide receiver Elijah Badger, wide receiver Elijah Cooks, wide receiver Jacoby Keeney James, wide receiver Tyler Vaughns, and tackle Ben T. Kura.
You know what the deal is with that dude? He's an Australian rules football player who got out of his contract to pursue his dream of the NFL and possibly follow suit. As Jordan Mailata did with the Eagles. He's 6'9", 270.
Sign me up.
See what you got.
Sign me up. Kick the tires. What
position?
Offensive tackle.
But he played Australian rules. He's never played in football, American football. Just like Jordan Mailata had never played.
We will have an injury. Sorry if I got to break it to you. We'll have an injury by week one. It'll be to a tight end. I mean, to somebody. You'll have by the end of the week, you'll have about three injuries. Hopefully none of them are season.
None today that we saw.
None today, luckily. But who was it that lost a first-round pick today? Very
Stewart,
gruesome.
Bengals.
Yeah.
Shamar Stewart, yeah. And the Saints might have lost a very starting DT.
Who also wide receiver? Hurst. No, not Hurts. The other one I wanted.
This is LCL injury. Chris Brazel.
this happens in training camp. I mean, the last year we Burns went down, and then the offensive tackle went down. It's part of the game. They're trying to explore what's out there, so they know what you know what's on the menu when you got to address an issue. Hopefully, they bring in 10 people a week.
Yes, TD.
Speaking of injuries, have y'all changed y'all tune at all on Chris Bell?
As far as what?
Redshirting the first year. Maybe there's a better choice.
He said he was going to play in November. We never said he was going to redshirt.
Well, do you think it could be sooner than that now based off of
when I see him run? When I see him run and cut, I'll tell you he's close.
He didn't do any running around. In fact, Jeff Hafley told us yesterday, you'll see him running around out there. He didn't do any running around today.
Maybe he did maybe they're running before practice or whatever.
Obviously, I can only speak to what we saw.
But based off of Hafley, how he said it, I can optimistically smile. I love where he is. Do you think that timeline could move up potentially?
I think that's in way to encourage the young man, way to put a carrot up there for him to work harder. I always get very uncomfortable with people playing guys coming off knee injuries 9 months. I don't care if you're a freak of nature, like who's a running back that came back after 9 months? He's going to Hall of Fame. Adrian Peterson. I don't care. Like, I think at the earliest it's 11 months. You should be on a practice field.
Which would be October.
So, let's go back to the defense. Chop Robinson, getting bigger. Are you noticing anything from the size difference, or is it still?
Oh, sorry. Yes. No, I'm just kidding.
I can see like 7-8 pounds, but the question is, did it make him slower? Did it make him less quick twitchy? And we won't know that yet. And will he play differently when he's got pads on? Because everybody slows down when they got pads on.
That came up in the offseason too. This is nothing new. I mean, he put on
more pounds. He got to 265 according to Hafley. In the offseason, he was like at 252 or something like that.
Do you like 265?
I 265 having needing to take a dump. Yeah, probably. That's the thing about it. Like, we know that guys lose like 11 pounds a day during training camp. Like, it's and they put it back on carb loading. Like, that's been told to me from players. So, you know,
he looks thicker than he did in years past. Whether it's going to make a difference,
he said he got a chef and changed some of his eating habits. I hate when guys say they just change their eating habits and then they don't go into detail, because there's a certain player who said they changed their eating habits, and I asked him for details and he had no details. Did you really change your eating habits? I won't mention that player's name, but
he had 5 burgers instead of 6.
You are technically changing your eating habit.
On the team now?
Let's move on. When we put some pads on, we could discuss it.
I'm hoping it like translates to a little bit more power. That's for Chop, a little bit more power, because he had the speed coming out of Penn State, but it's like once he got that contact from the tackles, he kind of disappeared and he couldn't really disengage from the block. So
what got him drafted in the first round is that he had Michael Parsons' athleticism numbers and RAS scores. Do you see Michael Parsons play?
No.
Well, this coach Michael Parsons. So
Johnny Parsons.
Let's hope. Let's cross our fingers. Let's see.
Yeah. You never know.
He's got talent. And Armstead and Calais. There are a lot of people that I like and believe in and support, and they all vouch for him. So he's a worker. He's got talent, but sometimes it's between here. Sometimes it's confidence. Like Charles Harris had talent. He just didn't have any confidence. Yes, he did. He had
he had a very, very, very bad, as I recall, a very bad RAS score.
Did he?
As I recall, I mean, I could be misremembering. I recall that he was not necessarily.
He reminds me a lot of Chop Robinson. Quick twitch, great bend, athleticism, blah, 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 blah. I personally want my defensive ends to look like Jalen Phillips, but that's just a personal preference. But you know, it's cool. We'll see. I mean, when pads come on, we will know if Chop improved or not.
I just looked it up right now very quickly. Charles Harris had a 4.26 out of 10 RAS score.
Yeah.
Well, that's not impressive.
No. For Chop, though, sometimes it could just be the system.
What was Chop's score?
Let me check.
Yeah, I've never really bought into Chop because I believe in college productivity.
972.
Jesus Christ.
That's a big difference. No, I don't. They don't have Jesus Christ's score on.
That'd be a 10. But
think about it. A 972 out of a 10 for Chop Robinson. That's exactly why he was drafted in the first round.
Despite not having the production to match it in college. Harris was the other way. Harris was not a great athlete, but he had good sack numbers as Missouri, as I recall.
Chop had, what, 5 his last year in college? 5 sacks around there?
If that many.
Yeah, it wasn't crazy. If you had to pick, now again, me and TD aren't really giving our opinions or we're reacting, but we're not giving our opinions because we weren't there. So we're kind of going off of these two gentlemen. Your number one standout, if you had to. Like, give me one guy that you were like, he did good today.
Michael Taft. I don't look at you as a JV guy no more.
Okay. That's promising, especially in a position that you need help.
That job's going to be wide open. If you're the top graded guy, you should be in the starting unit tomorrow.
I love that. That's exactly what they need to do.
What's stopping them? Like you, it could be 8 guys starting next to Dante Trader. Like you better figure out who. Like I, that's the one thing y'all know how I feel about Brian Flores. But that's the one thing I did love about Brian Flores. Competition, daily performance that dictated where you were. Your game status was dictated based on how you practiced that week, and. You know, I'm a big believer in you earn what you keep. You keep what you earn. So, if they made Michael Taft the starter tomorrow, I would applaud it. I would give Jeff Hafley a standing ovation.
The thing is, I didn't notice, and I think Omar would agree with me. I don't think I noticed any defensive player make more than one play. So then it becomes which play was more impressive. And with all the respect in the world, Michael Taft's interception when Ewers was floating a ball on the run, to me would be 5th or 6th on the list. I thought Jacob Rodriguez's pass knockdown in the middle of the field was way more impressive. Juju's pass breakup against Malik Washington at the start of practice was more impressive. Willie Gay Jr.'s interception was very, very impressive.
So but that's Willie Gay, though. That's what Willie do. That's what Willie do.
They would punish him because he's always good in practice.
Why he don't play, we don't know. But that's...
I asked him like in the offseason, is like, you know, after you the way you played in training camp last year to not be used on regular season. I didn't phrase it like this, but my question was like, almost, why the hell would you re-sign with the Dolphins? Anyway, and he said, Joe Barry called him a couple of days after a free agency, explained to him that the scheme was going to be different. They were actually going to use a Sam linebacker quite a bit, and that's where he would fit. So if I have to single out one guy, I'll go with
him. I don't see him as a Sam, though.
That's exactly what he said he is, by the way.
Which might be why he's bounced around the league for so long.
Bounce around the league. He played his first like 4 years with Kansas City as a very, very good player. And then he went and had one bad year in New Orleans.
They didn't re-sign him. He signed for cheap salary with the Saints. Didn't play with the Saints. Signed for cheap salary with the Dolphins. Didn't play with the Dolphins. Re-signed for cheap salary with the Dolphins. And here we are.
Don't act like you like to say, let's not pretend he wasn't good in Kansas City, because he was.
Yes, exactly. Which is why I don't have the answers. My eyes tell me Willie Gay's a top 10 performer on that team. Like that, if we're just going on training camp practice, Willie Gay's a top. Willie Gay should have been a multiple orange jersey guy. Like,
flipping orange jersey, man.
Yeah, I ain't letting it go. I'm not letting it go.
Well, maybe they respect him this year.
Thank God.
No, not the orange jersey, but maybe they give him more playing time and make him a legitimate
role. He's got to earn it, but that's the thing about it. He's basically competing against two rookies, and that's, you know, cards are stacked against you, bro. Competing against three rookies, really. Cards are stacked. Yeah. Jacob Rodriguez could get on the field, put T-Dot at Sam. You got Kyle Lewis, who's going to be the big nickel that replaces the third linebacker, and then you got Trey Moore, who's going to be the edge rushing Sam that replaces. You know, so what will Willie Gay fit in here? You know, especially on a 1-year deal at his age, and he's got to make plays like every other day for them to finally.
But he will, because he's phenomenal.
He is phenomenal. You're right. He is.
That was for you, TD.
Before we get to the donations, I'm taking over this one, baby. I'm taking over this one. I did a future bet on Prize Picks. I got my four here. Sam, I want to get your opinion on it real quick. Got Sam Darnold. I think he's going to throw under 3,699.5 passing yards. I think a little bit of fall off after winning the Super Bowl. Cam Scadabo, I don't have him getting over 800 rushing yards. Did you see him do the backflip?
Yes, absolutely.
So I don't think he's going to make it through the season. Justin Herbert, they have passing and rushing touchdown, 28.5. That's easy. That's just easy right there. I can see him rushing for seven touchdowns.
He doesn't score rushing touchdowns.
But under Mike McDaniel, I could see him getting at least five or six rushing.
I don't like that bet.
I don't know. And then Josh Allen, 3,599. The past, 4 years, he's thrown over 3,600 yards. So, and I think he has a better receiver this year. So,
it's your ticket, Doug.
What happened?
It's your ticket.
He is my ticket. I'm going to do the Dolphins after training camp. I'm going to give all of my Dolphin predictions. But yeah,
you might get good value now.
That is true. Might be low now. I might have to jump on that.
It might be low, high.
Yeah. Use that promo code HMA, new users. When you play $5, you get 150 instantly if you win. And hey, you can use my lineup if you want. From me to you. Let's get to these donations. Ian said, woke up with a tight back and was scared I was going to miss the first show of camp. But I got my potato chips and I'm here. Damn, that was like three shots in there.
Y'all know I'm a little slow, so it took a minute for me to get there.
Like three of them. Bam, bam, bam.
Well done. Well done.
RJ, member for 9 months. We appreciate you. Happy training camp week, fellas. Fins up. Fins up to you, RJ. We appreciate you, bud.
What camp is this for you, Poop?
I did the math. 89. This is 38.
Camp 38. This is camp 19 for me.
This is 8 for me and TD.
I went 2 years before I saw it.
Jeez. Mike Best.
Facility in Davie.
Mike Best said, hey guys, more or less likely Chris Bell plays before week 4, less likely.
Impossible.
Less. Yeah,
he's going to start on the pup.
Probably. Maybe.
Would they put him on the pup or they put him on IR? Which one do you think they'll do?
No, they'll put him on the pup.
They'll put him on NFI. NFI, yeah.
Mike Best also says, is it a surprise defense was ahead of the offense, defensive head coach, new offensive scheme, etc.? Is the offensive scheme new or is just the verbiage new?
It's very, very similar. And yeah. It's
no motion. Don't do that.
It's almost the same. And invariably, with very few exceptions, the defense always is ahead of the offense at this
point. Yeah. A lot of less moving pieces.
Which Tyreek and Waddle.
My guess. Three in a row.
At least
row.
You give him the credit for throwing the Tyreek and Waddle.
Mike Best said, Tua was great in practice. Where did that get us? Exactly. Aaron said, does this team have more talent than the 2019 team? Yes, I think we did a whole stream on that. Also, which is more likely / delusional, Dolphins winning 12 games or TD Malik's rushing TDS take?
What was the number he had? How many
rushing touchdowns did you say, TD?
Like 9 or something?
I'd probably say a 10.
Okay, 10.
Double digits. But I think that's more likely. That, which is more likely? Both. B-O-A-F. Both.
Yeah,
12. 26 has more talent than 2019.
I think the rushing touchdowns is more likely than 12 games.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If he rushed 10 touchdowns, he's probably going to win 12 games.
Depends. How many rushing touchdowns did Ryan get in 2019? It was like 6.
Fitzpatrick?
Yeah. I think he got like 6 in 2019, so... And they still won 5. Ian, member for 9 months, said, bet it was Grant who changed his eating habits.
Good poker face there, Omar. Nice job.
My well screen done. Is frozen.
Yeah. Hey, you
well done. I missed that. I missed everything y'all just said. Yeah.
No breaking news. Oh, my God, today. Poop, you're the best. Mike Best with another donation. Omar, weird question. Most people I see with dreads, they look dirty and matted. Yours look clean and shiny. Why is that or how is that, LOL?
Because I'm a professional and I have to pay a lot of money to keep them shiny and washed and properly done. And it can get matted, but obviously I have to represent. I do this for a lot. People don't realize this, but a lot of young people look up to me and they're like, oh wow, he's in a professional world and he looks like that. I can grow my hair like that. You can look professional with dreads. So
when was the last time you didn't have dreads?
I cut it off my 2000. I had dreads, cut it off 2000, and then so they're as old as my son. When I found out my first wife was pregnant, I kind of lost my mind and shaved my head.
I have my hair done professionally as well to show the young folks that the salt and pepper look can work.
I love how your salt's mostly here. I think it's very distinguished. Salt, yes.
It's funny because if you look at the top of the topics, that's an Alan with the dark hair up there. Yeah, much darker hair.
Yeah, man, like you're aging in the season that we've done.
Well, look at TD. Look how much younger TD looks too.
No, damn, TD.
I got pepper starting in there ever since 2019 draft.
I'm getting a little gray right here, and I'm to eat off the buffet that I eat off. I probably have to diet. So
I got this streak right here. My senior year of college, I had to write a 7-page thesis paper on a 15-minute clip because it was a film degree. I had to write a 7-page, and it was 15 minutes, and I had to break down everything, and I was like, I'm gonna fail and I'm not gonna graduate. It's like, whoop, got a gray.
Stress, man. 2019, oh my God. Grab. I'll start gray.
The expedition life, he said, TD, just remember the gentleman to the right couldn't tell the difference between Achan or Ahmed. Achan went on to average 7.8 yards per carry. Omar is a chick at the club, he doesn't like short guys.
Yo, smart guy or smart woman.
We both, so it's not gentlemen.
It wasn't just the two of us.
Yeah, it's not gentleman, it's gentlemen. And it was the team. The team literally said the only way they could know which back was which was because HN wore orange shoes. The team. So, you know, y'all do with that what you want.
TD's got his supporters out here. We gotta dodge bullets.
Get that off the screen.
Count on Lino.
Block him yet?
Good nose, bro.
Leave it. Leave it, Master Story Spinner TD. Man, you love your love affair with Malik is the greatest since the Titanic, The Notebook, and Lady and the Tramp. LOL. It's coming. I can't wait for the season to start. His donations are going to be the best during the season. It's going to be funny.
Don't entertain Lino. He be creeping, man. He be nervous because of the
these comments are crazy. I bet we should get Skinny Poop is here, fat shaming the burger eater. Hey, he does shame me and us for eating carbs in the media room. He does.
I'm not shaming you. I'm pointing out that I'm not having carbs. I'm not shaming you.
Yeah, he's always like, I'm not having carbs.
He's like, I'm not having carbs, but if you need to know, the bathroom's over there.
Here, take my fat food. Yeah, eat these carbs.
Oh, man. Day one of training camp got people all fired up. Bobo says, if Juju Brents plays 13 games, no season ending injuries, and plays to the level we've seen, do we sign him to a good $15+ million a year deal?
Absolutely not.
Year without injuries?
Yeah, we've been there before. You know, we need to see 2 years without injuries. Give us some continuity.
But he's a free agent, so you're gonna have to sign him. Cornerbacks don't exactly fall from trees. So if he balls out and stays healthy.
He's a very talented guy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I like Juju. Right. True Finn fan said, didn't like you at first, but you're almost all right, Omar. That's almost nice.
My biggest hardcore fans are the people who began this journey hating me, and then realized
that's not true. I never hated
you. I'm sorry. Just kidding.
Yeah. And then realize I'm quite.
Would you consider me a fan still, Omar?
I'm a fan of yours, Doug. That's the standard for podcasters in our community.
I went from being a fan to a friend, and now I have his number and I call all the time. I say good night, Omar. I love you.
And TD was my enemy because somebody was putting a battery in my back.
I wasn't your enemy.
Oh yeah, you were my enemy. You could talk about. You were everything that was wrong with the internet.
That battery was energized with the buddy going. Listen, man, hey.
But you know what? The reason for that battery.
Ian with the fiver said, wait, the Dolphins haven't won a playoff game since Omar got his dreads. Get rid of them. Omar's part of the curse. It is true. Hey,
Omar been part of every curse. Every curse.
Mike Best said, just trying to show support. That's why I keep doing chats. We love you, Mike. You're the best. I'm coming to see you guys at camp next week, flying out Sunday. Go say hi to the boys. Unfortunately, I won't be there, but go say hi. And then JD, great. 5 gifted subs. 1 to Mike D, B Flow, Browdered Dolphins, Ratty, Chargeroo, and Kyle Borst. You guys got gifted membership from JD DeGreat because he is DeGreat. So what is the schedule like this week? When are they practicing before Sunday when it's open to the public?
Tomorrow, Thursday morning, Friday morning, they are off Saturday. Sunday is the first practice open to the public. Then it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
They go on 3-day cycles.
Correct. And next Saturday, August 8th, is the practice at Hard Rock Stadium at 10 a.m.
Usually this team would go in 4-day cycles. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot different. Let me tell you how practice is different than a lot of the coaches that I've covered. And Poupart could probably go even further. But then that was old school football where, you know, they really practiced back then. Long stretch periods, like literally I was doing Joe Rowe show. I thought I was going to be late. I got there. They were still stretching. When they get out, the first period is special teams. Special teams is usually my nap time. Special teams is usually broken up in the middle of practice and then one near the end. And that's the time I use to like recharge and check mm-hmm. my email and take a nap and, you know, do all things I want to do. Well, the special teams is like, and it was like 30 minutes today or something ridiculous like that. Oh, yeah. It was long. It was long. It was at least 20 minutes. It could have been 25. And then today, there was no individual. There was no 7-on-7s. We just went.
Oh, then there's no one-on-ones. No one-on-ones.
Let's get to work. 11-on-11. Let's not waste no time. And I thought to myself, what's the pros and cons of this? I can give you no cons.
Get right into it.
The business.
And see who knows the playbook, see who doesn't know the play. I always liked the split field practices. Mm. Very hard for us in the media.
Mm-hmm.
But from a coach standpoint, yeah, you can't coach both sides, but you get to evaluate two different sets of players, and you have much more film to go through, and you have much more looks at 90 players. We're not doing that, but you know what? We ain't wasting no time. We ain't throwing no 7-on-7. Now, when they put pads on, they'll probably do some individual stuff.
Mm. I don't recall anybody doing that, using both fields at the same time. Oh. Can I finish? within a Dolphin team practice, I'm not talking about joint practices. I don't recall a Dolphin coach doing that since Joe Philbin.
I think Gase did it once. Did I think Gase did it at one point.
I know Joe Philbin used to do it a lot.
Yeah, Joe Philbin did it. Joe Philbin did it. I don't think Flores did it, and Mike definitely didn't do it.
True Finn fan with the last donation said, "Enemy TD is the toenail fungus that grows."
What does that mean?
I don't even know. Hey, I don't even know. But we're gonna get out of here. We will see you guys Friday. I think we're gonna do Friday. Friday. We'll see you Friday, same time, 6:30, 6:15 ish. So we will be around. Going to chat you up. And then next week starts 3 live streams a week. We got training camp to talk about, a lot of stuff to talk about. So a lot of good stuff. Go check out Omar Kelly on the Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI, TD Finstalk, youtube.com/TD Finstalk, and the Roundtable Sports. And you can check me out, youtube.com/Dougley Durong. See you all Friday. Fins up, and we out.